So we want to give some feedback, but also just share with you really God's heart for us as a church. I'm going through a process. I said I'm meticulously documenting everything. I don't believe in being super spiritual. I don't believe in being weird. I believe in being loving. I believe in being real. And I believe God wants us to be real to a lost and dying world. So even in end of November, we had a leaders meeting and we were praying and I felt God speaking to me. It's like a whisper in my heart, which can be called a prophecy. And I just heard these words. I sensed the word healing. I sense that God is making his healing power available to us. I believe God has called us to walk in this boldly. I felt God saying, trust me for healing. Let me show my goodness. Let me show my glory. I want to. God wants to show his glory. And I felt God saying, or speaking to my heart, saying, be a door for the living God to reveal himself. I sense God is saying that we have the power to open the door for his glory. Pray for the sick and see my glory manifest. And I felt God releasing an anointing of healing or grace for healing upon us. Last year, we saw about 4 people healed. The last month and a half, we've seen in the region more than 50 people healed by the grace of God. And I felt God saying that this is my heart for you. This is my will. My glory revealed tangibly and undeniably. Tangibly and undeniably, that is God's heart for us. So I just want to share this verse with you. Why miracles? Because I know in many circles, even in Christian circles, there's lots of negativity about miracles. And they say, oh, the guys are making it up. And I must say, I know many guys do. It seems guys have lack integrity. They lack humility. They're on their second wife, third wife, fourth wife. So it's sometimes really hard to believe that it's God. But God's grace is bigger than our weaknesses. So why miracles? Just want to read this verse for you. It's in Acts. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So it's fascinating that first bit there. It says, multitudes with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip. Why? Because they heard and they saw the miracles which he did. Then it says, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. And so, you know, how many people out there mock Christianity? How many people mock Jesus? How many blaspheme the name of Christ? How many people out there have been deceived to believe that there is no God and sciences prove it's not no longer so, and etc., etc.? How many people? There are many. There are many who mock. But when you battle with cancer and you're dying and somebody prays for you and you're instantly healed, are you going to listen to the message? I think so. And the same thing with the multitudes. Even in India, you have Hindu people serving 300 plus million gods. Everything's a god. You drive in the taxi and you see the idol there on the dash. Everywhere, every business, everywhere, there's the idols, this dead stuff that they are worshiping. So even if you preach Jesus to them, they will just add Jesus to the 300 million. Very much like the so-called 70% of South Africa saying they're Christian. Depending where you're at, if you maybe come from an African background, then you add Jesus to your, well, you go to the Sangoma. When there's issues, we go to the Sangoma because the Sangoma has power. So we do Jesus and the Sangoma. Or maybe we go to the Western, middle class, educated people, and then they'll say, well, I do Jesus, but I worship my money as well. I worship my car. I worship my career. So you have these idols everywhere. And in India, the same thing. You have idols. Because Jesus is just another figment of somebody's imagination. Until they see and experience the power of God. So when we did the outreaches in India, then we would call the people forward, Hindu people coming to Christ, and then we pray. I told them, don't come to a religion. Come to Jesus. Come and meet Jesus, a real person that you can meet right now. And then I trust the Holy Spirit to touch them. And so we had people coming forward. I remember the one couple coming forward, and a married couple, and I prayed for them, and they were so touched. The Hindu couple being touched by the power of God. The lady hardly could stand under the power of God. And the guy had no external showing of God touching him. But when I interviewed them afterwards, they could say that something was happening. It's not a dead idol. Not a dead idol. God was touching them. And that's the only way you break them out of the 300 million, is when they realize Jesus is alive and that he is powerful. And the things that I am seeing now and experiencing, I've been trusting the Lord for 10 years, more than 10 years. I've been praying, saying, God, I so believe the gospel is powerful. I so believe you are powerful, but I preach your message and I see a little bit, but I don't see your fullness. And so I'm so blessed by what God is doing. He's transforming me and he's transforming people in this church, because suddenly they see what when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. It changes you when you see God is powerful through you. Our God is amazing. So when there are signs and wonders, healing, miracles, then multitudes not just hear a message, they heed the message. Because suddenly they realize there's something different. You know, Philip went to Samaria. They were worshiping a mixture of stuff. Philip went there, preached the gospel, miracles happened, and they realized this is a bunch of rubbish. Even the sorceress said, this is a bunch of rubbish. Philip serves the true God. We need, why miracles? So that the multitudes will heed and take Jesus seriously. We are not just called to proclaim a message. We're called to demonstrate. Demonstrate. I'm tired of saying Jesus is powerful, but I can't show it. He is powerful. He wants us to demonstrate. And it says in that verse, well, the unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. There must be a showdown of power so they can see the devil is nothing compared to the power of Jesus Christ. And that's what we saw in India. The one thing that stood out for me was I saw the devil is really that small. I was so worried going to India. Oh, Jesus, does it work there? There's all these millions of gods. They're worshiping an idol around every corner. Does Jesus work in India? He works powerfully in India. He works powerfully in East London. I am transformed by seeing demons leave people. And we'll show you a bit. And then there's great joy. Not calling to dead religion, calling to the power to a living Christ. So we want to show you a video clip. If you can close the window there and then the lights. If you can put the front lights off. It's a 6 or 7 video clip of our trip to Mumbai, India. And over the next 3 weeks, each of the teams are going to give some feedback. I'm going to share with you some of the miracles that happened to encourage you. So I just want some of the team to share with, just give some feedback. Rion, just going to share a few things.
Morning, church. There's going to be some photos flashing. I'll just wait for them just to start. But before I even start, I just want to honor you guys, the church, for sending us. You know, without your love and you sending us and supporting us, it would have never been possible. And then also to the prayer partners, all of you guys that have prayed for us on specific days, and the rest of you also, without your prayer, it really helped us and sustained us, and God really moved powerfully through us because of you guys holding us up in prayer. And then lastly, just to our wives for allowing us to go, thank you for your support too. Okay. How can you not be changed? We got 4 minutes, so someone can tell me. And just, can you tell me? Andre said strictly 4 minutes. But how can your life not be changed going to a city of Mumbai with over 20 million people? And it is. It's changed. You're never the same again. That's the place that we stayed in. We were on the fourth floor, and it was, and that's just some of the locals, how they travel, and just the traffic. I mean, the city just, the poverty too of the city, it just hits you. You can physically smell it, feel it, and you can taste it. That's the normal mode of transport, and that's a small one. There's sometimes a little baby, and the father's talking on a cell, and there is no covering on his head. So that's some of the transport, the city. And the city is just alive, as you saw on the video clip. There's just the cars just hoot, and they go. And that's just some of the traffic that we had to deal with. But it was great. There, a little bit, just hold it on there. We had a driver, Aslam. And we had a special communication and language. It consisted of pakin, 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 which translates into parking. It consisted of okay, 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 which translated into okay. And we had a special bond. And if I only went to India for him to receive God, it would have been 100% worth it. And that's what happened. He gave his heart to God on the Friday. And I was standing next to him. There he is, both hands. I'm standing on his left. And the whole time I was just praying. I was just saying, God, please, just please. And he did. And I've never experienced so much joy. And it was worth it just for that man. What a beautiful man. What a driver. He put Schumacher, Alonso, all of them to shame. He is the driver of Mumbai. And what a great man. But God worked and through us mightily. As you saw, a guy with color blindness, God restored his sight. He entered into the army, but he couldn't go into the army further because of his colored blindness. And God transformed him, and he could see color. So we're hoping for him to get into the army. Another guy with hearing that you saw, and many more slain in the spirit. And God just moves so powerfully that you can never be the same. And God is alive yesterday, today, and forever, the word says. And he's alive, yeah, just as much. But you can never be the same. I can't say that enough. It's really a city that grips you, touches you, transforms you. And you just want to go back again. And just lastly, we met on the Saturday, Pastor Vino. Is that right, Andre? And he said one thing. He said, a lot of guys have come before and brought a good message, and it was great. But we came in the demonstration of the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And that really touched me, because that was our heart, to just impart God and the power of God onto that city. So I give God the glory. And we had a great team. Great team. Such unity within the team, and such a great leader in Andre. And unfortunately, just in closing, I was responsible for the management and the transport and keeping everyone together. Wow, that was difficult. But anyway, we survived. Focus, Annette, when you get up. Thank you.
Amen. Megan. The Lord connected us with a church group there, about 300 plus churches in Mumbai, and they really want us to come back and have meetings. So we're going to go back next year, and we hope some of you will come along.
Morning. So it was Monday. We went to visit a temple, and I can honestly say I have never, ever experienced fear the way I did on that Monday. Like, it was crippling. I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to get sick. Just like realizing that you're walking into this place, and this is a place where people come to worship, and they come to give offering, and they come to do whatever they need to, and it just, they're so lost, and you just can't help but just sense the fear as you walk in. And what we did was, we had prayed, and Kornay actually had a dream or a vision of a bell that he had shared with the group before we had left, and he said, I'm not quite sure what this is about, but I saw this bell. We'll see, you know, what happens as we go along. And then Ash had a dream or vision of the stairs. I don't know if we have one. Oh, the stairs leading up to it. And then while we were in the bus, I was just praying, and I was really, really scared. And I had this specific set, a type of eyes that were just all over the place as I had closed my eyes, and it turned out to be the eyes of the goddess that's in the middle, and they call her Mahalashmi, and she's the god of wealth and prosperity. So these people rock up, and they give whatever they need to. They feed their gods. It looked like nachos, a bowl of nachos, that they'd put into the monkey god cage thing, and then the elephant as well. And then, it was just, wow. And then what happened was, so I was extremely fearful. The team had prayed, and it was gone. And it was just really hectic just to walk in there to pray in Afrikaans, so no one understood what was going on, or in tongues. We were actually having conversations in tongues, so people thought we were just chatting. That was pretty cool. And then just on a personal note, like I mentioned, for me, fear was what I had to get over. Lies that I had received about not being good enough. I'm the youngest on the team, so I felt, I was like, Lord, I don't know what I can offer besides being behind the keyboard. So for the first night, I was like, I'm not praying. I'm behind the keyboard. That is where I belong. I'm not good enough for anything else. And then the team prayed, and it was so amazing how all the chains just broke and all the lies were gone. And I realized that God can use little old me. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. God can use you because he loves you and he's chosen you. And so that was really awesome. So I walked away feeling completely liberated, so free. It was a week that completely changed my life, and I'll never, ever be the same again. It's cool.
Eldie, Claire, where are you guys? We just want to share something about the Sunday evening. We had the most healings on that evening.
Sunday evening. Are we still Sunday morning?
Clinton, Sunday morning.
I've just quickly wrote some notes here because otherwise I'm going to fall asleep on you guys. I literally have had 2 hours sleep doing a video. Just before leaving, God gave me a four-letter word, trust. It was very big, and I don't think it was specific for anything, but I remember sharing it with family before leaving. And Sunday morning, our very first meeting, God is just setting the foundation of his goodness, of his faithfulness for the rest of our term in India. And that's just how, like Andre said, it was the morning that we had the most healings experienced and the most power that God had come. Not the morning. Okay. It was good. Lost my track. So for me personally on this morning, it was about stepping out of the boat. And I'd never, I thought going to India that it's going to be unplugged, no English-speaking people. Even if we worship in English, they're not going to understand anywhere. It's going to be me and God time. But in getting there, they had like a massive sound system plugged in, everything. When we did the praise, they did the praise, we did the worship, and their praise, it sounded as though I was standing in Australia, Hillsongs United. It was like, it was amazing, it was active, it was loud, it was joyful. And then we came on, team, and the presence just came. It was just God showing up. The anointing on our worship was incredible, and it just set the atmosphere for God to do his work. There was so much sweetness on it. The other meetings that we had, other worship meetings that we had, or the different services that we went to, the Indians worship very differently, and it's not the same as us, and it doesn't sound as good at times and stuff. And it was just like God reminding me personally that it's not about how we stand before him. It's not a feeling when we're worshiping, and that it's out of our heart, it's out of the spirit, it's out of the truth. And a lot of times, you just don't feel anything, but you're there and you're joyful and you're active, and God shows up and his hand falls upon the meeting. One specific word that I got about after Wednesday was just the word effortless. How effortless our our mission really was. We just had to be obedient. We just had to be there, and God showed up. We just had to step out in obedience. LD, you didn't get out of the chair only, but you were out of the boat. The whole team was out of the boat. To see the team out there and laying on hands and praying and God just showing up. It was truly not us. It was only God. All glory to Him. It was an effortless effort from our part and God to just come through every time. I've never seen so much faith in people or so much belief in people in a long time. Just one incident praying for a lady with a sore hip and a leg, and every time that she walked, she experienced pain. So a very short lady, I knelt down and everything, and I prayed for her about a minute or two, and I didn't say a word back to her, I didn't say nothing to her, and out of her mouth, I had an interpreter next to me, and she says, "Jesus, miracle, amen." And before I could even grasp and agree with her, she had already asked me, "Can you please pray for my husband?" And I said, wait, hold on, one miracle at a time, I want to hear exactly, is there pain? And the interpreter asks her, and she said, "There's no pain." I say, "Okay, dance. I want you to dance in front of me here now." So she dances in front of me. I say, "I still don't believe you," because I didn't have enough faith. She had the faith. She came with the faith. She had the belief that she was going to be healed. I had her run to the back of the church and back, no pain. Then I said, "Okay, let's go pray for your husband now." And then just in closing, I really meditated a lot on these words before leaving for India, and I just want to read them to you. It's from a song, but it goes, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters where you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior." And that's exactly what God did, that I haven't had so much faith in my life ever. And God's stirring up inside of us, the team, myself, and there's no going back. We are forever changed. And just something really beautiful was that picture of that girl with her hands like this here in the clip. I think I paused quite a long time on her. I was standing there looking at this girl, and that was in the leper colony. And these are people that have been outcast, set aside, put aside because of whatever. And the most beautiful people that you've ever seen in your entire life. And I stood there and I watched this girl with her hands like this, yeah, looking at us. God is so beautiful, and He loves us so much. I just really want to encourage you to step out when you get the chance, to get out of the boat and be obedient to His call, and that He will trust you in every circumstance. And He will show up in every circumstance. He's just looking for your obedience. He's just looking for you to step out of the boat, that He can take your hand and move your boundaries and move you to a new level in Him and in faith. Thank you. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. LD. And then Claire.
About the Sunday evening, we went to the slums. It was quite a bit of a culture shock, I think. Arriving there, we didn't really know what to expect. Wow, God showed up amazingly. Worship was a bit of a challenge, but Sandra saved the day, or the evening. But it was still, to see the people just streaming in was amazing, and this small little venue, they just kept coming. Every time I looked back, I saw just more people trying to squeeze in and peeling out the doors, standing at the windows. So it was like, Andre says, like a real Jesus meeting, like back in the day. To me, it was quite intimidating, like if I can share from my side of the evening, because now we had to pray for all these people, like at the end. And it was just queues of people, and I was like, God, I've never prayed actually for someone to, like, in this, like, and I've never seen really healing before, so how do I do this? I didn't know how to start. And was literally, like, just diving in and starting to pray. Like, people literally queuing up. And it was just amazing, like, like Clint said, like stepping out and just like, okay, here I am, God, just use me. Literally what we had to do. And we just kind of dove in there and prayed, and we saw amazing miracles. Like you saw in the video clip, so many people got healed. At first, we didn't see, like a couple of us didn't see, like the first couple of people, two or three people we prayed for didn't really receive healing, like physical healing. But from a personal side, I saw that this one lady came up. She had like deformed, like her hand was injured. And she said that her son was drunk and attacked her. And so she started, and this hand was like contorted. She couldn't bend her wrist or anything. So she started praying for her, me and Claire. And then I just felt like unforgiveness, like we didn't receive any breakthrough, so I felt like unforgiveness. So I said, has she forgiven her son? Like, do they speak? Like, she said, no, she hasn't forgiven him. So I said, okay, can you trust Jesus to give you the power to forgive? And he said, but I don't believe in Jesus. So I was like, well, you can now. And she said, okay, she'll trust in Jesus to help her to forgive, and then she forgave her son. And I can't explain to you like how her features changed. Like she just, her eyes like were shining, and she just stood up straight and was like smiling the broadest smile. And that for me was the whole, like carried through the whole week, like just seeing God touch people, like just seeing their faces lit up and them just be changed. And I believe they've been changed, like, for forever. Like, so yeah, it was amazing. But I really want to just emphasize, like we had to step out. We had to, like, take that, leap of faith. I think if we didn't, then we would have missed out.
Clay.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to share about Sunday evening as well, because I just always feel like I can see it in the picture there. I just felt like the faith that these people had was so simple and yet so profound. When they started piling into the room, I really felt like I could see. I felt like I could physically see their faith while they were sitting there. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. And like, I just want to share, before we left, I really felt like, sure, I think I have quite a bit of faith. Like, I have faith for big stuff, you know? And I really felt like God was like, you don't even know what faith is yet. Like, and so even Clinton shared a little bit, like they have so much faith, they just believe. They just, you said Jesus heals, I'm sick, here I am. I was healed, thank you. And then they want to leave. And you're like, wait, but we need to celebrate, and we need to check, and we need to see. And they were like, it's cool. Like, thank you. And yeah, so I was just blown away. It's so simple. There's no complexity. There's nothing to it. Jesus heals, full stop. Like, it was just the end. And I also just really wanted to share something that I learned just in the process of all the healings and everything. I don't have time to go into all of it, but during the process of the week, I really started to believe lies that because I was wanting healing so much and I was wanting to see it, and when it didn't happen, I was disappointed. I started believing lies that somehow it was about me and that I should stop trying. I must step back because I'm wanting it too much for myself and my own glory. And it was like just a whole lot of stuff. And I really felt like God say, like, you really have to be confident in my ability. This is not about you and what you do, and whether you do it or not, I'm going to come and heal. And so I really just want to encourage you. Like, I really feel like God is saying, your confidence to heal is in me. And I also found that when I didn't step out and shied away, then it didn't necessarily happen because I wasn't confident in who God is. And then the one day I decided, I was like, I don't care. Even if I'm doing this wrong, even if my attitude is wrong, I'm going to get out and do this. Like, and I just felt like God say, when you step out and you're confident in me, then I can move. So I really just want to encourage you, like, It looks really hectic, and there were all these healings and everything, but I really feel like this is something that everyone can do, and I really want to encourage you, like, step out in who God is and forget about the lies about what's going on in your head and who you are and what you can do. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Just go back to the picture of the boy. This boy was, his mom was standing at the back. He was mute from birth. He's never spoken. And we prayed for him. And when I started to pray for him, his eyes were like glazed. It was like you could see something as he was just standing. No emotion, just standing. His eyes were like glazed. And then prayed for him. I could see his eyes change. Color almost. It's weird. But I saw a change in his complexion. And then he started to speak. And then I asked him to say the word Yesu. And he said Yesu. I said say hallelujah. And he said hallelujah. And that just really rocked my world. Because the first two people I prayed for, there was nothing. I mean, nothing was happening. There was no nothing. It was just, Jesus, are you here? And my heart was so touched when I prayed for this boy. Just so felt compassion for him. Prayed for him. And when and we celebrated, it was in the video, we celebrated that the Lord healing him. And then everyone I prayed from there, every single person we prayed for afterwards. I prayed for his mom and she was healed. Prayed for the next lady. She had a skin disease, hands and feet, and took her shoes off. And we were praying for her. And at some stage she turned to interpreter and said, somebody is touching my feet. But there was no one touching her feet. And so that was amazing. And then as we went on, every time I just ask, what are they feeling? And then the interpreter would just start saying, it's the fire, it's the fire, it's the fire. So it's amazing to actually pray for somebody and then the area of pain, like back or stomach or whatever it was, they would feel some form of heat or fire as the Holy Spirit would touch them, and the pain would just leave. It was just amazing. Pray for them, pain gone. Pray for them, pain gone. Not even long. 2-minute prayer, boom. And we had to move into the street to because we had to get out of the venue. Time was up, and we just continued praying in the street for people. It was just phenomenal. We were changed by seeing that this is possible. And it really spoke to me because I had a word, end of last year, I felt God saying that there will come a time that we will pray for people and everyone will be healed. Everyone will be, I tasted that. Everyone, from that point onwards, everyone was touched by the power of God. And I believe God wants to do it in this house. He wants to do it in this house. We're doing on Pentecost Sunday, 19th of May, I think, 19th of May. We're doing a special healing service. So we're gonna give you marketing material as well. It's basically Christ the Healer. And I'm going to encourage you to invite people, any sick people or anybody. We're basically saying Jesus still heals broken hearts and broken bodies. So I want to encourage you to invite people because I believe God is wanting to release this in us. Okay, Ashley, come and share. We just keep it short just give highlights.
I'm going to share about the Monday evening. We're at the Methodist Church, and about a week or so before we went to India, I had this dream about this woman, and she was dressed in black, and she had a white scarf around her head. And I remember waking up from the dream and having such, like, heaviness on my heart, and I still wrote down the dream because, you know, you kind of, when you wake up from a dream and you feel like that level of compassion and heaviness, like it's got to be from God. And then, so I was looking for this woman. I was like, okay, she's going to be in India. And the Monday evening, we were praying for people and all of that. And there was a group of people on the one side. So I started walking towards those people and someone tapped me. And I turned around, and it was the woman from my dream. And I was still like, oh, I saw you in my dream. And she, like, didn't understand what I was saying. So I was like, interpreter, interpreter. And so this woman came, and then, you know, I said, tell her that I saw her like a week ago in my dream. You know, like God has a special message for her. And while I was praying for her, I felt three very specific things. And I didn't know her, obviously. And I said to her, like, I feel God is calling you back into the ministry. And you've made a decision that has taken you out of the ministry. And because of that decision you made, you feel like God is punishing you. And God is saying he is not punishing you. And the interpreter started crying. So I was like, oh dear. So then they had a whole conversation. And then the interpreter says to me that this woman used to be so on fire for God. And she was very involved in the ministry. And then she married a guy who wasn't a Christian. And he pulled her out. She was no longer involved in the ministry. And for 12 years, they had been trying to have a baby. And she felt God was punishing her because of, you know, the decision she made. And it was just so beautiful how, like, if I went to India for that moment, it would have been enough. Just, like, seeing her just completely break under God's love. And she was just like, oh, I need to go back. I need to give my life again completely to God. And it was just, it was so beautiful just seeing her completely crumble at God's feet.
Ashley has another cool story as well. Tell about the other girl as well. No, tell it now. You're telling it now, and it's...
Oh. And then later on, I think it was the Thursday night. I might be a day out, Wednesday or Thursday night. We did F4, and there was this girl, like, she caught your attention straight away. She had earrings in her lips, and her hair was, like, one side was short and one side was long. She was very westernized, and she just, it was like a pulling in my heart towards her straight away. And we had ministry time, and I went to go and pray with her. And when I sat to pray and I started praying with her, I got this word of knowledge, which is something that I would never know unless God, or something that you wouldn't know unless God tells you. And it wasn't the easiest word of knowledge, so I kind of sat there and I wrestled with God a bit, and I was like, you know, like, what happens if I'm wrong and I offend this girl? But God was like, pushing. So I said to her, I don't know your story, but I really feel like God is telling me to tell you that the time you tried to overdose, he was with you. And her eyes were like, and it was amazing because the whole time, like, there was this wall. Like, you couldn't get through to her. She was, like, numb. It was almost like she was medicated or something. She was just, like, a zombie. But that moment, like, God just spoke to her heart. And, like, the Sunday before, I had shared my testimony, and she was in that service, and she heard me share my testimony. And, like, I just learned how powerful it is to share your testimony, because she sat there and she said, I trust you and I'm going to tell you my story because I heard your story. And it was incredible because I didn't want to share my story at all. It was this big war that I was waging with God. And so from that, I learned that your story, you have to share it. You have to speak out because it can completely transform someone's life. And so we ministered, we prayed together in that, and then later that evening we went and had supper with a group of people, and she was there. Her name was Mercy, beautiful. And Mercy and I kind of went and we sat away from the group, and we spoke for about 2 hours, and she just poured her heart out, and we prayed together. And, like, afterwards she said, you know, I was actually planning to commit suicide in the next few days. And for the first... Oh, I'm going to get emotional. And for the first time, she has hope. And for years, she's been hopeless. And having an encounter with God, she has hope again. And it was just, it was so powerful and so beautiful. So tell your stories.
Amen. Because I was praying for this young lady in the meeting, and it was like stone wall. I couldn't get through to her. I was praying. I was about to spend about 20 minutes praying and talking and trying to get through the wall. And then a word of knowledge from Ashley actually broke through that wall. Praise God. Okay, Annette at the leper colony.
Hello. Just quickly turn to the person to your right and say that God heals. And then turn to the person to your left and say, God chose me to heal. Mooi, mooi, is goed. We went to the leper colony the Wednesday. And as Clint mentioned quickly, they are outcast from this, is completely rejected and outcast from the society. They are actually cured. So only the old people still have the after effects of the leprosy, and they deformed. It's beautiful. The kids are fine. As Clinton said, that little girl, she was beautiful. And all the other little kids, they're beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with them. They're kids of the leprosy people. And therefore, they also are rejected by society. So as we got there, the first thing that completely overwhelmed me was the smell of where they were living, because they're living next to a sewer, a river swamp. What do you call it? A river swamp, a sewer. It is disgusting, guys. Oh, there was pigs living in the sewer, river swamp thing, directly next to where they were living. And also it's not houses which they live in, it's little rooms. And then, because the people took us through all the rooms, and it's little passages where you walk through, little small passages, dark, and takes you to all the little rooms. And I got to the one woman. Where's that one woman, Megan? So by that time, I wasn't really affected, really, you know. I wasn't touched. And then I got to that woman. Don't you have a close-up there? And I saw her, and I stopped, and I couldn't move on. And I looked at her, and I was like, I'm not going to move on. I can't move on. And the compassion of God completely overwhelmed me, immediately overwhelmed me. And I was like, I need to love this woman. I need to pray over her. I need to touch her. And so I started praying over her and touching her and touching her face and just like pressing in, showing that, you know what, I'm here to actually love you. And then I bent down to touch her knees. Just a few days before the first day, one of our tour guides, whatever, said that when you bend down to touch someone's knees, it's a way of showing respect and honor to that person. I wasn't thinking about that while I was doing it. I just felt I need to touch her, so I'm just going to touch her. And her daughter was standing next to her, and she's like, as I bend down to touch her, her daughter said, no, you can't do that. And I was like, why? And she said, because when you touch someone, you show that you respect them and you honor them. And I was like, I honor your mother. I respect your mother. And that day, guys, I was changed. Because God loves her. God loves her so much. And even though she's deformed, and even though her eyes are hanging and her lips are hanging and she can't swallow, she can't speak, she doesn't have fingers, she doesn't have toes, she is beautiful. And I can stand before you today and say that with boldness, that she's beautiful, because when I looked at her, she was beautiful. She was so beautiful. And that day, I was touched. I was touched. Quickly moving on. You must tell me when I'm done. Thursday morning, our team, we prayed in our prayer room. Every morning we prayed together, we worshipped, we soaked, just chilled in the presence of God. And that morning specifically, we affirmed each other and prophesied of each other. And I was a bit feeling left out and didn't really feel affirmed. So then I just sat there, you know, and Andre said, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Nothing is wrong. I'm fine. It's okay." And he was like, "Uh-uh. What's wrong?" Ach, and I just shared. So then they were like, "Well, we're going to pray for you now so that you can feel loved." And so they just start praying. And guys, that morning changed my life. And some of them said, if they only went for that thing, if I only went for that morning, it's enough. God touched me so tangibly. He set me free in that moment. And I've been praying for years for that breakthrough. I was struggling for years. And that morning, God touched me. And I went there to serve. And I went there to share the gospel. And God was, "You know what? I love you. And I'm going to touch you." And he touched me so, so powerfully. And I'm so grateful today just to stand in front of you guys. I'm so grateful for what God has done. And just to end off with, just a very quick healing. I prayed for a woman this Sunday night, and she had problems in her knee. She was quite old. It was my interpreter's mother, quite old, and she was walking very slowly and like crippling. And she was like, "Please pray for my legs. Please pray for my knee." If she said to me that when she goes to sit down, she can't come up. So please, Leonie, just come and help me up quickly. Because so when she sits down, she can't get up. So actually someone, no, not like that. You, like really just press in and, you know, just, you know, like that. So really like, so I was like, okay, so we're going to pray for now. And so we prayed. Okay, 30 seconds, we prayed. And she was healed. And she said to me, "The pain is gone." And I was like, "I don't believe you." Like, so easy. And she was like, "No, thank you very much. I'm healed. Can we pray for my son now?" Like, "God, please just, I need to believe she's healed." And I was like, "What can she do?" I was like, "She can squat for me." So I asked her to squat for me. And guys, she's old. And quickly, can I just, like, I'm a fitness girl, so I'm in the gym quite a lot. And when people squat, they squat. So that's a squat. Okay, so when she squatted, okay, she squatted like this. And I was like, "God, she's definitely healed. She's definitely healed." Thank you.
Amen. There was our comedy break. I think if we do levels of how much do we love the microphone, Annette is right up there. Okay, Corneille, we're almost finished. Just one or two to go.
Okay, I'm one of the person that don't like the microphone, so I'm going to be quick. Sure, where can we start? That was amazing, really. I just basically want to share the love that we experienced by all of them, even our team members. You know, the unity what we got with you guys, yo, that was amazing. So basically, yeah, sure. Can I share my vision, my dream I had? Yeah, okay. I had a dream about one evening just before when I woke up, I had a dream about a dove and this dove coming down. But this dove was actually, we were walking and this dove was in a cage and we were walking and I saw Andre coming and just picking up the cage and releasing the dove. That is what happened. That's what happened this week with us. Like the Holy Spirit was free to do whatever he wanted and he really done what he needed to do through us as instruments and just being obedient. And like, wow, the Holy Spirit was amazing. Wherever we've gone, whatever we've done, Holy Spirit was just present with us. So just wanted to say, I've got so much more to say, but yeah, it was amazing.
Amen. Okay, Sandra, I think this is our last one.
Thank you. Just to maybe what Annette also said, even if God didn't do any of the amazing things he did, it still would have been completely worth it just by what he did in our team. It was just such unity, such love. I felt so loved and I felt so accepted. It was amazing. I loved the food. I didn't even know that I like hot food, but I loved the food. I didn't necessarily have a beating heart for Indian people before I left, but God really imparted such a love for the people, such a love for the culture, it was just altogether amazing. And I'm talking about Friday night. Now, they were generally on meetings, were called, this one was called the peace meeting, but others were called the healing meeting, or whatever meeting. But basically, we'd do the same every time. Get there, Andre would preach a message, then we'd maybe do a skit or a dance. Maybe someone would share a testimony. And then we'll just pray for whatever. And in one meeting, there'd be people delivered, people healed, emotional healing, just filled with the Spirit, anything and everything, whatever comes. You know, whatever situation or prayer need, you just pray and miracles every night. And by Friday night or by Friday, actually on the Sunday when I prayed for a back to be healed, it was healed, and for a headache that left and knees that was sort of partially healed. By Friday, I had so much faith. I've never experienced that when this person stood in front of me and they said, no, it's my knees are sore. I thought, yes, knees are easy. We can do knees. I knew she was going to be healed because, you know, especially knees, they just got healed all the time. So I prayed for the knees and they were healed. And it was just awesome. And this evening, it felt so amazing where, like, I realized we don't have to preach all these intellectual doctrine messages. Just the gospel is so powerful. The gospel of Jesus basics, because all these people this night gave their lives to Jesus. It wasn't people who grew up in church and now they're recommitting. These are Hindu people that don't know God, who, like, when I looked back, it was just hands in the air responding to an altar call, people coming to Christ. That's like the gospel happening right there. And it's also Aslam, the bus driver, when he got saved. And we prayed for the people, and the one lady I prayed for was filled with the Spirit and she was on the floor and she was praying in tongues. And then I had like a little girl come up to me. I also want the Holy Spirit. I also want what she's got. So I prayed for her and she received the Holy Spirit. And then the lady got up and brought her husband and I called some of the guys and we prayed for him and he was filled with the Spirit. And then another girl came, their daughter, and we prayed for them. And basically, the mom and dad was saved 2 months before. The kids got saved that night. and everyone, this whole family was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's just a life, a family transformed from being in Mumbai, lost, into a whole family coming to Christ, being planted into the church, and being really like mobilized and powerful in the kingdom of God, and their lives are changed, and the community's lives are changed because of that night. It was just really powerful, and that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we wanted to share the stories because we want to encourage you. And along with sharing the stories, we want to say to you, because that's what a testimony is. A testimony is an invitation for the same for you. It's an invitation. When I say, or somebody shared, Jesus healed my knee, that is an invitation for you to receive the same. When Sandra said she prayed for somebody whose knee was sick and was healed, then it's an invitation for you to experience the same, where you can pray for somebody and their knee can be healed. And so we want to release just the blessing of God over this congregation and over your lives. I mean, this week Beth was healed in the small group. Sunday evening, Leonie was healed when some of the people were praying. God is wanting to touch us continuously. God, we thank you for every testimony, Lord, this morning. We honor you for the 50 plus people that have been healed, physically, undeniably healed over the last month, month and a half. Jesus, we honor you. We give you all the glory. We declare it, God, that in ourselves we cannot heal one soul. We cannot take a headache away in ourselves. But God, when you work in us and when your presence rests upon us, anything is possible. The mute speak, the deaf hear, pain leaves bodies, lives are transformed, the lost are saved, people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom comes. And so God, as we know, Lord, that our bodies are temples, it's like a cup. It's like a vessel ready to be filled with your goodness, with your love, and with your presence. And so God, as we stand before you, Lord, as a church, we agree with you that these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's a promise. And God, we believe it's for us. It's for every believer. And so God, right now, God, we just, in your holy, precious name, we just release more grace over this church. We agree with your word and we say, let it be. We agree with your word and we say, let the kingdom come. We agree with your word, God, and we say, fill us with more of you. And so, Father, as the team that went to Mumbai, God, and what you've done in us, God, we just release that grace upon every person here, Lord God. Each and every one that wants it, God, we release it right now. In the name of Jesus, we release it right now, God. Just your presence to come and fill, an increase of faith, and may we see the glory of God revealed. May we see the glory of God revealed. God, we declare the trickle will become a flood. Amen.